Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts 2, verses 14a and 17 to 24. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, the blood and fire and the smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon shall be turned to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in the power.
When at worship we were talking about our anniversary, we wanted to get some ideas of how to do something a little bit different. In years past, and probably next year too, we invite a person in the history of St. James to come and talk and help us reflect on the years that have gone by. And this year, because we're still sort of getting to know each other, we thought it would be good if we had a little chat. It has been my privilege for the last 9 months, 10 months, however long you've put up with me, that I've got to learn some of your story. And the privilege in that is that it's not a story without struggle. For those that have been in the church a very long time, know that just 10 years ago there were difficulties in closing off a relationship with a previous minister. In the years that followed, there were challenges and struggles that went along and that followed. In the time of Heather, there was hopes and dreams of that she would be here a long time. And I don't think it goes without saying that I think there were still hopes that she would be here now. And in the life of Olivet United Church, the hurts and the sorrows of having to close one's church breaks one's heart. And so we come to this moment in time wonderfully happy and excited, and yet knowing that our past has struggles. Okay, I want to just test something. Will anyone admit to being 63 in the room? Beautiful! Hey, wait a minute. There are a couple of hands, I'm not sure. Anyway, thinking about those 63 years of your life, has it all been bliss? Bless you, Jim. For the times that it wasn't, I heard about this exercise. I don't know if anyone has ever made bread before. Bread has to be kneaded, beaten down, put under fist in order to rise. And we are at a moment of rising. We pray, anyways. And so as we think about the past, we can think about the mainly good years, but I invite those who carry hurts. It doesn't have to be about church. It can be your own life. It can be the struggles that you're facing in this moment. It can come from a place of needing to confess our thankfulness for God's presence in our lives. But I invite you to come up. Allison is wonderfully prepared with either 30 seconds or 3 hours of music. And I invite you to come and pray over the bread. There are three stations. There are gloves for those that wish. There's a towel even beside. Oh, I threw all the towels away. But this bread, after we knead it, after we pray over it, after we put into it our prayers, our worries, our concerns, the past that we still carry today, this bread will be the bread that we break next week for communion. I know all of you are like, oh my goodness, I don't want to eat bread that everybody touched. That's fine. It'll be the symbol we break just before we disperse the elements next week. And so, whether you sit in your seat and pray over that which you carry, or whether you come forward and pray over the bread, I pray that this moment might be a time of you knowing the need of God and the presence of life that is still growing within you. And so I will invite us into this time of prayer as Allison plays. In the fall and again this February, some of us met after church to talk about St. James Rosemount. We reflected on what God had given us, the resources and blessings for which we are thankful, the people who are the church in this moment in time, and the challenges facing us. It's no surprise what came out of these gatherings, that we love to eat, that we value our youth, our Sunday school, that we are blessed with a fabulous music program, both with the choir and Allison's gifts, that we are generous with our resources, our money, and our building. We dreamed our dreams, we shared our visions about, and we thought about what were our growing edges, our need to talk up and advertise church more, to be bold with our faith, to knock on doors of our neighbors and invite them to church, to connect with others that have drifted away and invite them back, to do as many of the former Olivet crew are, working on those that they know are just sort of hanging on at the outside. Sometimes with an anniversary, it's a good reason to connect with others. In these discussions that we held, if you look at the back of your bulletin, we unknowingly used a Japanese concept of ikigai to identify our passions, the mixture of what we're good at and what we love. But the other two quadrants were a little more elusive to us. What does the world actually need from us? What can we be paid for? Or better said, what makes us feel useful, able to be recognized for our gifts? When we think about those other two quadrants and the voices of those outside the church, it's difficult to listen. It's difficult to hear what else the world needs when we're run ragged. It's difficult to have really deep and meaningful conversations. I'll sit down and I will talk your ear off about the new Star Wars movie coming out in December and the interpretations of the trailer they released and the implications that it has for the whole series. But last week, when my son and I, Nahum and I, were walking home from church on that beautiful Earth Day, when I passed someone on the street and they stopped just after passing us and called out to us saying, "Are you Jehovah's Witnesses?" I froze. I responded like any good Canadian. "I'm sorry. No." But then I didn't know what else to say. Do I give off that vibe? Yeah, I heard a yes. The vibe that I'm just ready to ask, have you heard about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Do I give that off? Do I look like a Christian? I was wearing a tie. Maybe. So, what's phenomenal is that I've been thinking about it all week. wanting a do-over, to go back to that conversation and probe and ask and wonder. There are tons of times in our lives that we want a do-over. I'm sure in what led us to the bowl and what kept us in our seat, moments in our church that we would like an absolute do-over. Conversations that we'd like to do over that have closed doors rather than open them. Moments of hurt that we still carry as part of our story. We know as we reflect on this anniversary that we're older. We're blessed to have the wisdom of years of experience. We are those who have kept the faith in spite of the hurts that have beat us down. We know that it is now our turn to carry this light, this Christ light for a new generation, but we're dismayed that there's not as many as there used to be. We're not the church of the 1950s, and we're dealing with a whole new reticence or shunning even of faith, or more so shunning of the way that we live our faith. These days when we give thanks for those that are here, we know so even more so who isn't here. I was talking with a colleague this week, and whether or not we know it, the biggest challenge for us within the church is to imagine ourselves outside of it. We need to be standing in the Zares on Sunday morning or Tim's or other places where new rituals have replaced old. We need to hear why people aren't here. For those hurriedly gathering groceries for the upcoming week have found that their only moment's peace is in that Sunday morning to get everything set. Those at home doing laundry are doing so to prepare themselves for another hurried and harried week of not enough time. Those in this culture that aren't here have become beaten down by not enough time or sleep or caffeine or money or hope or love. In our ever-stressful lives where caring for ourselves has become a luxury, we have not allowed ourselves to rise. We have convinced ourselves that there's not enough. But it's nothing new. It's a part of our human story. It wasn't enough that Jesus was born. It wasn't enough that he healed and transformed the lives of those wounded by society. It wasn't enough that he brought together people suffering from demons and mental illness and hunger and suffering. It wasn't enough that he fed thousands and ensured that there was good wine at the wedding. It wasn't enough to hear him preach about the injustices done in the name of religion and state and those willing to take advantage of those in need. It wasn't enough for him to flip tables. It wasn't enough for him to suffer for his beliefs. It wasn't enough to watch hopes die and for his followers to be challenged to carry the faith in the midst of suffering and death. And it still wasn't enough for God to let death be that final word. We are a people of resurrection. And it's not enough for us to just hear these stories at Easter. We need, in spite of our struggles with, in spite of the struggles with the science of all of it, to own this story of new life, to make it our song. Because this is what makes us stand out from the rest of the world. I bet some of you have laundry to do at home. Groceries to buy, bills to pay. Hoping for a nap this afternoon? But what's different from us from everyone else is that we come up against this not enough with a response. Our world would demand that we charge every single person that comes through our doors room rentals to make sure that we pay our bills. We'd be told that we're crazy sending our money to Kenya caring for students who otherwise wouldn't have opportunities. We embrace a resurrection knowing that it is our beliefs, our traditions, our thoughts that these are not the norm of our culture, our society. We are the outsiders. And it's because our reference point, our leader, as Peter Rollins says, was an outsider. Jesus was a drunkard, a bastard, a friend of sinners. He would always stay with those who were oppressed. And Peter Rollins tells this story of a parable he heard, as one who came to the pearly gates and sees all of his friends standing outside, the atheist, the Buddhist, the God knows what, hanging outside those beautiful gates to the promised land. And that which is that person about to go in thinks about Jesus the outsider. And he thinks that he's better off staying outside than going in to receive his glory. Somewhere in the last 2,000 years of Christianity, we've lost the message of what our hope is. It's not in the glorious reign of Jesus Christ where the whole world is to be made whole again. The power in this resurrection story is Jesus shows up with wounds. The brokenness, the scars, the hurt upon his body. And he rises still, as one has never done, to reveal a new understanding of God, showing us that resurrection is possible, and it is the core of what we do each and every day. Because Peter Rollins goes on saying that we, as people of faith, deny this resurrection. He says, without evocation, or hesitation, I fully and completely admit that I deny the resurrection of Christ. I deny the resurrection of Christ every time I do not serve my neighbor. Few and far between. I deny the resurrection of Christ every time I walk away from those who are poor. I deny the resurrection every time I participate in an unjust system. However, there are brief moments when I affirm that resurrection, when I stand up for those who are on their knees, when I cry out for those who have had their tongues torn out, when I weep for those people who have no more tears left to shed, when we embody new life for our world. We stand with the power of the resurrection to know that in this scarcity of time and money and visions and dreams, that God is the one who gives us the power to rise. So let us sing.